Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Hope your day is going well. Got a jam-packed day of programming on KPCC, including on Take 2 with A. Martinez this afternoon. It's going to be Karen Bass, who is not only local member of Congress from Los Angeles, but she chairs the Congressional Black Caucus. She'll be talking ahead of President Biden's address to a joint session of Congress. We'll have that speech for you live at 6 o'clock, in which the president's expected to make a number of major proposals. There'll be a Republican response to that that NPR will carry. We'll have that for you, as well as NPR analysis. The whole package, starting at 6 this evening, right here on KPCC, and A's conversation with Congresswoman Karen Bass setting the table for that this afternoon, 2 o'clock on Take 2. Right now, we talk about the beautiful, historic Colorado Street Bridge in Pasadena. It spans the Arroyo Seco. The bridge was constructed very early in the 20th century. And from early on, in addition to its architectural grace and appeal, it became a magnet for people taking their own lives from the bridge, and in fact gave it an unfortunate nickname. Now the city of Pasadena, in response to the more recent suicides from the bridge, has come up with three different mock-ups for potential barriers to discourage people from jumping from the bridge. But not everybody's happy with the designs that are there. The city is taking public comment. The mock-ups are available online. We have them on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org. And you can also see them in person when you drive across or walk across the Colorado Street Bridge. By May 31st, the city is looking to get input on these designs to make a final decision on construction. With us from the Pasadena Star News, a journalist formerly with the Star News, Bradley Bermont, who has closely followed this. Bradley, thank you very much for being with us. How did we get to these finalists in design?
Well, I mean, this has been a few years in the making. City officials formed a task force in 2017 after a spate of suicides, and they realized it was going to take a bit longer to put up actual fencing. So they put up a chain link fence in 2018, really unsightly, and it was pretty effective. I mean, the numbers are a little fuzzy, but I know in 2019, they had just one person try to kill themselves there. Before they put up the fence, they had four in a year. But no one, throughout this whole process, no one has ever really been happy with these designs, not the city council, not the city commissioners, not the design commission or the planning commission or the public. No one looks at these fences and says, yes, this has improved this beautiful architectural landmark. No one says that. They all just see it as something that's necessary, that they have to do to save lives. And it's working.
And I would add that in addition to saving lives, it's to try and reduce trauma, not just for the family members of those who've taken their life, but for the people who, you know, arrive on the scene to deal with the aftermath of it. It's a terrible thing for anybody to have to deal with professionally. And for all the time that goes into trying to discourage people from taking their lives from the bridge, and that's obviously invaluable and important work. But at the same time, extremely stressful, even for people that are trying to help save someone's life. So there are a lot of good reasons for doing this. And I know there are some who've said, well, you know, that's always a problem, we shouldn't do anything. But I personally think that's a very weak argument. There's got to be some way to mitigate this. Bradley, so at this point, do we know what the responses have been to the city on these designs?
I can't tell you what the response has been for the three mock-ups that they have right now. They are holding some public hearings. But these aren't, this isn't the first time we've seen these designs. We saw these designs, in 2019. We saw miniature mock-ups a little bit after that. And it's kind of been the same response over and over the whole time we've been covering it. It's, they're unsightly, but they're necessary. And so the debate has really centered on how do you make them flow with the architectural design of the bridge as much as possible. And that's how we've ended up at these curved tops. Two of the samples that are up right now have sort of a mesh fencing, and then the tops of them curve, and as opposed to just straight picket fences, which is the third design. And it's all just about how do we mitigate the impact that it's going to have aesthetically on this bridge?
And the problem, of course, is the mesh has to be small enough that people are deterred from climbing it. But when you do that, it makes it difficult to see through the mesh on the design. I'd love to hear from AirTalk listeners who are familiar with the bridge and what your thoughts are about this. How would you solve this problem of trying to save lives and the trauma associated with suicide from the Colorado Street Bridge, and at the same time keep the integrity aesthetically of what is one of Southern California's, you know, spectacular structures? The bridge has been in many movies. It's in car commercials all the time. In fact, if you don't use it in a car commercial, it's assumed something's wrong with you. The bridge is often closed, as I see after work here, because we're so close to it, because they're shooting a, you know, at least before they put the fences up, they were shooting a car commercial. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We invited a representative of the city of Pasadena to join us since the city is seeking public comment. It seemed like this is a great opportunity to hear from AirTalk listeners, but Pasadena was not able to provide someone for our segment today, unfortunately. 866-893-KPECC. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page. We're talking with Bradley Bermont, former journalist of the Pasadena Star News and with KPECC. Also with us, Brad Hansen, president of Pasadena Beautiful Foundation. He's the author of an op-ed piece, Colorado Street Bridge Barrier Options Impair Views, Degrade Walking Experience. Brad Hansen, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. What do you think is a better option than the three finalists being considered?
Larry, we would look at the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge model as a much better option for this. If you look at what they're doing in San Francisco, they're building a net underneath the bridge. It goes down 20 feet and then extends 20 feet out. And they haven't completed it yet, but they're in process of doing that. And so that does not disturb the view looking at the bridge, or certainly when you're walking across it, and which would be the case if they put these vertical barriers on the Colorado Street Bridge.
Well, and this seemed to have been dismissed as an option very early on. Concerns that people who had jumped would have to be removed from the netting, and that would be a considerable time and expense involved in the process. Was, to your knowledge, was there any data to back up that contention when, as you say, the Golden Gate Bridge did settle on that solution?
Well, I'm not aware of any, you know, study, you know, about that issue. You know, clearly if somebody wanted to jump, you know, they can do it. But this net that they're doing in San Francisco is not like a nylon net that's soft. It's a metal net. So it's, you know, it's going to, for thrill seekers, certainly.
It's a rough landing. You there? It's a rough landing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But of course, there is the issue of, in a small, comparatively small city like Pasadena, the cost of dealing with that to remove, you know, someone, you know, from the fencing. And did the city bring up that issue or cite what the potential cost for that could be?
I'm not aware of, you know, what that cost would be. I mean, it's certainly something to consider, but to disturb this iconic bridge for Pasadena, I think, you know, we have to really take the long-term perspective on it. And of course, all of this, you know, we at Pasadena Beautiful Foundation, we totally understand that there's a problem, you know, suicide. In fact, there was a suicide there yesterday, tragically. But I think we should take the time to get it right and not rush into it.
We also invited McDonald Architects, the firm that the city of Pasadena contracted with to do the project. They're also the firm doing the netting at the Golden Gate Bridge. They designed that, but McDonald Architects declined our request for interview. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. There's got to be a way to save lives and to protect the aesthetic appeal of the bridge as well. What are your suggestions for it? 866-893-KPECC. Brian, in South Pasadena, you're on Air Talk.
Yeah, hello. I just was wondering about I've witnessed several suicides. I grew up along the Arroyo. I've seen them from the San Rafael Street Bridge, the La Loma Street Bridge, the Colorado Street Bridge. And I just feel like everybody wants to save lives. But what about other solutions in terms of suicide hotline phones every 50 feet that can be built in there? Some signage, like, you know, you pick up a phone, you make a call. Like, I don't know if there's other ways of creating more access points for people to talk to than just making that bridge a cage.
Brian, I appreciate it very much. Let me go back to Bradley Bermont, journalist formerly with the Pasadena Star News. Bradley, one of the suggestions I've seen is, you know, Brian mentions phones to the suicide hotline, but having volunteers who would walk the bridge in shifts and would be available to talk with people, who would be trained as counselors so that people in distress would have someone to talk to and there would be a presence there. Is that something that, to your knowledge, the city has discussed?
It's not something that they've discussed, to my knowledge. They do have police officers and teams that work with them that will go out there and talk to these folks when they get reports of it. Part of the issue is Pasadena doesn't, although it has its own health department, it doesn't have its own mental health services. It contracts that out to the county. And I think part of the issue, and I'm speculating here, but part of the issue would just be funding for something like that when you don't have a mental health services unit within the city.
Yeah, you'd have to find some other entity, a nonprofit or other governmental entity, which could conduct the training with the volunteers. But, you know, Pasadena has so many people that volunteer for different things. I would think that they would be able to recruit a trained corps of people to do it. I understand why the city would feel perhaps it's not financially feasible to pay mental health professionals to be out on the bridge 24 hours a day. But your thoughts on it, Brad Hansen of Pasadena Beautiful Foundation. Is that realistic or having volunteers out 24 hours a day not a realistic solution?
Well, I think you're right that, you know, certainly the city has a huge amount of people working for charities and so forth. So there's a lot of volunteer spirit, but I doubt you'll get you would be able to get people to be out there at 3 a.m. guarding the bridge. So I think that would definitely be a non-starter. But having a telephone hotline, you know, that would make sense. I think that's what they do on the Golden Gate Bridge. There is a sign, you know, as you approach the bridge, there is a suicide hotline that so they have the number to call.
Yeah, I've seen that. I wonder if it would be possible to construct barriers at each end of the bridge so that the bridge would be closed overnight and you would have access blocked off with barriers that would extend far enough beyond the perimeter of the bridge that would keep people from being able to climb onto the bridge. So you could close it, say, after dark and reopen it at dawn or something like that.
Yeah. I think that definitely would make sense. I haven't seen the study in terms of, you know, when most of these suicides take place, but I would assume they do happen at night when nobody can see them.
Yeah. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Eric in Montebello, good to have you with us. You have any proposed solutions to this challenge?
Hey, Larry. Good morning. This is Eric. Honored to be on the show. Definitely a longtime listener. So
thank you.
But yeah, you know, as a Californian and just someone who enjoys and loves California for all it offers, you know, channeling my inner Hugh Hauser there. I've seen the bridge, and like you said, car commercials, drives. It's just something. It's a very beautiful, part of California. And when those fences came up, it was just definitely an eyesore, and I was like, oh man, there has to be a better way to do this. So the thoughts that come to mind would be, some sort of like fencing on the lower sections that don't necessarily get seen on the up section when you're walking or driving by. I like what the previous caller said about maybe putting in some signage or a phone booth or something like that for people. But perhaps maybe some cameras just to kind of at least and, let people know that someone might be thinking about doing something like that.
All right. Appreciate it, Eric. 866-893-KPECC. In case you just joined us, we're talking about the Colorado Street Bridge, which is on the National Register of Historic Places, a remarkable architectural structure which spans the Arroyo Seco. And remember, when it was built, there was no 134 freeway bridge that spanned the Arroyo. It was it. And before that, you had to figure out a way to go through the Arroyo at ground level, often with a stream going full bore down the middle of it. So to get between the LA community of Eagle Rock and Pasadena, very, very challenging. The bridge solved that and did it in an architecturally gorgeous way. Now the question is how best to discourage people from using the bridge to take their lives while at the same time honoring the architectural integrity of the bridge. 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in 1 minute. So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the Colorado Street Bridge and efforts to save lives by installing barriers on the bridge and at the same time doing it in a way which doesn't detract from the beautiful design of the bridge. The city has mock-ups of three final designs which don't seem to be getting enthusiastic support because everybody realizes that there are significant trade-offs in the height of those barriers, in the mesh of the barriers, because it will have a significant effect on the view, which originally you looked out between bars on the bridge. An absolutely gorgeous experience. If you've never walked across the Colorado Street Bridge, it's just spectacular. Any excuse I can get to walk across it, I'll take, because it's a true landmark and gives a gorgeous view of the Arroyo. But the question is, how do you do that and save lives? We're at 866-893-KPECC. Greg in El Segundo says, previous research has shown nets are big deterrents. If someone looks down, sees that they can't successfully jump, they won't. Ultimately, the city has to decide, do they want to invest in it or not? That's Greg in El Segundo. condo. I can't vouch for that research or how people respond when they see nets. I know that's certainly the hope with the Golden Gate Bridge, with the netting system that's being installed there. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Isaac in Pasadena, thank you so much for joining us. Isaac, a former city council member in Pasadena back in the 90s. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It brings back memories. I was a lone vote on a suburban member council against spending $30 million in municipal funds that would be matched with federal dollars that we wouldn't get unless we reopened the bridge. And I think the bridge had been closed maybe about 6 years. The 210 freeway is parallel to that bridge, and there's like 10 lanes of freeway there. So I didn't see during a recession the appropriateness of spending our scarce dollars. But anyway, we did open it. It is beautiful, and people do jump off it and kill themselves. And I advocate for having I'm at the net they have on that long expanse in San Francisco. This bridge is not that long. We can put sensors on there. We can put cameras on there and give ourselves time to get first responders there before these people jump. No one jumps right away, Larry. No one jumps right away. They take their time, they mull around, and we've got time to get to them. They have footage of this from San Francisco. They know they have time. We've got more time with a shorter span and closer first responders. It's a small town. We can get to those people there, and we're just not doing it. We should have the same sensors on that bridge as we have in many of our homes.
Isaac, I appreciate you sharing this. I knew you as Isaac Richard, and I know you have a new last name now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It's Abdul Haq.
Abdul Haq, okay. Isaac, it's good to hear from you. I haven't seen you in so many years. A former guest on Air Talk, as a matter of fact, and Pasadena City Councilman back in the 1990s, during the time when the bridge was restored because of its earthquake vulnerability, the city raised, I believe it was $20 million. I shouldn't say it's just the city, because there was other public funding and there was money raised by Pasadena Heritage and others for the reconstruction of the Colorado Street Bridge, but reconstructing it in the historic manner. Isaac in Pasadena, 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Let's talk with Kaveh in South Pasadena. You're on Air Talk.
Hi there. I'm just wondering why they can't station an officer there near the bridge or at the bridge in the same way that officers are, overnight they're parked in a lot of the abandoned homes up and down Pasadena Avenue or Fremont Avenue. Just kind of leading from the 210, because I think the fencing itself that was put up is definitely an eyesore, and I think it almost kind of like prompts people to just think of it as a suicide bridge rather than the beautiful landmark that it is.
Kaveh, thanks very much. And because we don't have someone from the city of Pasadena, we can't answer that question about what the cost for that would be and why the city isn't looking at that. I mean, the challenge is the bridge. It's no Golden Gate, but it is long enough. I don't think one officer just stationed off on it would be sufficient. You'd probably need a couple, and you know, there would be significant expense if you're going to do that all the time. 866-893-KPECC. Let's talk with Greg in Pasadena. I understand you're a lifelong Pasadenan. What do you think?
Well, I've been riding my bike under that bridge for 35 years, photographing it. In high school, I used to climb under it. Since then, they fenced off that access. And weekly, I drive my car across the bridge to Eagle Rock at night to enjoy the aesthetic of the lights and everything. I live between Pasadena and Oceanside. My brother did commit suicide in the past, so I'm very familiar with the pain of that. And I live right by the train tracks down there by the beach. It's crazy how many people have jumped in front of the train. You don't stop people from killing themselves, it seems like. But point is, a gentleman, a senior citizen, every weekend, sits at a table right by the train tracks. Oh. He sets up a folding table, a few extra chairs. He has signage that says, please talk to me before committing suicide. And it seems over the past couple of years since he's been there, you don't see people jumping in front of the train now. It's amazing. I hate to see the fencing up on the bridge right now. It has destroyed it. But I do understand the prevention abilities of it.
Well, bless that man you're describing who is doing that wonderful work, volunteering along the train tracks and trying to talk with people and help them in a time of crisis. Greg, I appreciate you sharing that. 866-893-KPECC. Jennifer in South Pasadena, what's your opinion?
Hi, Larry. I'm a lifetime third-generation Pasadena, and I've grown up in the shadow of that bridge, and I've lost 3 male friends over the side of that bridge over the years.
So sorry.
When the restoration occurred, I remember thinking, we're spending millions and millions and millions of our taxpayer dollars on this gorgeous restoration, and did nobody, honestly, consider counseling the suicide prevention world and look at the Golden Gate Bridge and learn lessons? And how is it possible that so many millions of our taxpayer dollars were spent building this naive restoration, albeit beautiful, for sure beautiful, but boy, it made me furious that suicide experts were not consulted, included, and they didn't participate in the restoration.
Yeah, do you know if that is the case? I wasn't sure whether there was any consultation or not. It wouldn't have surprised me if there actually was some, but do you know?
I only looked at them the retroactive fencing that went up 6 mm-hmm. months later and went, oh, brother.
Where they raised the height of the fence, yeah.
Did they really think that suicide is not a destination event? I mean, suicide experts will tell you it's a destination event. You've been planning where you're going to kill yourself. You're very passionate about it. You identify what bridge it's going to be, and then you travel to it. I mean, this is real suicide stuff. We have one of the legendary destinations in all of the world, and we didn't handle it.
Jennifer, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me go back to Bradley Bermont, a journalist formerly with the Pasadena Star News. Do you have any information to share about sort of at what point suicide researchers and experts have come into this process?
You know, it predates me a little bit. I started covering Pasadena in 2018. So I believe they were consulted in a lot of the initial designs. I know that they were consulted when it came to the question of using a net or not. And the answer that they came to there was a net was less effective than a fence. Because the goal is to slow them down and give someone time to come and talk them down. With a net, there's nothing really stopping them from jumping first and then rolling off the net. Or anyway, that's not what you're asking about. But I don't know the extent of the consultants that they brought on.
All right. Jennifer, I really appreciate it. And again, we're so sorry. As we were with the previous caller whose brother had taken his life. Just the effect of this obviously is huge. Jeff in Pasadena says we're spending too much time talking about suicides. If people are going to do it, they'll do it elsewhere. We should have a hotline there. I don't like the cameras, and I think the fencing right now should be out. And again, I would just add to this, we're talking about not just the people who take their lives, but all the other people who are part of that process of dealing with the aftermath of it. And it's a terrible experience for them too. So I think it's really important to consider how serious this is for everybody that's involved. let's see, we have Jana in Pasadena. If it was up to me, I'd put up signage about suicide prevention and resources to prevent people from taking their lives. I'm more people over property. I don't care about ruining the aesthetics of the structure. Mike in Pacoima says, I want to propose specifically some cocoon nets that would roll up and catch people if they jumped, wrapping around them and keep them there until help arrived. And we have John in Glendale says, I'm an architect. I think they should build a freestanding net over the top. You couldn't climb over because there would be no top of the fence to do it. You could make it a bird's nest, basically. And they could take steps to make that that essentially net over the top attractive. That's interesting. Brad Anson of Pasadena Beautiful Foundation, your thoughts on that suggestion?
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. And, you know, I think absolutely we should consider it. And, you know, anything that would be an improvement over the three suggestions or proposals that the city is considering now. But especially if this net on top, if it could still allow for the view as you're walking across, I mean, that would be nice. And then the view from, you know, up towards the bridge, you know, that's certainly a possibility. Our group would still support, you know, the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge option. You know, that's painted the same color as the bridge. It blends right in. We could do the same thing with the Colorado Street Bridge.
Tony in San Diego says, I'm a psychotherapist. I think the alternatives to structurally changing the bridge is having monitors and therapists. They should have live interactive cameras monitoring when someone looks like they're pondering, have trained therapists engage them in what is essentially a live phone call. That's much better than depending on police to show up. That's Tony in San Diego. Hey, thank you all for sharing your ideas about how best to deal with this. I want to thank our guests, Brad Hansen, president of Pasadena Beautiful Foundation, Bradley Bermont, formerly with the Pasadena Star News, and all our terrific callers. Also want to say if you or a loved one are struggling with thoughts of self-harm, please reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. That's also on our webpage, the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. And know that we care about you, and we're very happy to have you with us listening to AirTalk today, right here on KPCC. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.